So I would like to share a few verses that can bring courage to us. And they're very familiar verses. They're found in Psalm 34. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. And then verse 15 yet. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. So God hears our cry. God knows our concerns. And I'm thankful that we can just look to the Lord, and he gives us strength for each day. So today is a special day. It's Mother's Day. And I just want to bless the mothers who have maybe extra responsibilities with their children at home and teaching and so on and so forth. And I used to say, some of you have heard me say this, that my mother is no longer living, but I know that she was my greatest prayer warrior during the time of my ministry. So I just want to have a special blessing on the mothers today. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we are again blessed to know that you're all powerful and you're everywhere and you know everything. So God, when our hearts cry out to you, we thank you that you are there for us. We thank you for the presence of your Spirit that gives us the strength we need. And we thank you for your word that gives us knowledge of your goodness, knowledge of your greatness, and knowledge of who you really are. And we thank you that your word is new to us each day. So now we just pray a special blessing in Brother Mel. Lord, as he brings a message, may you anoint him, may you give him words to speak, to your honor, to your glory. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Boy, I too greet you in Jesus' name and welcome to all of those who are listening, to a few that are here. And thank you especially to our sound technicians, a very vital and essential part of these services, especially lately. Continue to pray for the service and maybe also for the technology. We have in the past experienced a little bit of difficulty live streaming, so pray for our providers or whatever that means, that this would be able to continue and that the service could be live streamed out. And I too am privileged to be here this morning, especially for this special service, this being Mother's Day, a national holiday recognizing and honoring mothers. We certainly, at a time like this, reflect and think back to maybe our own lives, and if you have, if you're married with a family, the role that your wife plays to her children, your children, and so we want to certainly recognize them and honor them. Also, my heart goes out to those who want to be mothers and haven't been able to. There's certainly a number of those here in our circles, in our communities that we know, and certainly want to ask God's grace on your life during this time as well for that desire. You know, that's a desire that God gave women, for the most part, to be a mother. And some do so with ease, some with great difficulty, some are not able to. So, certainly wish you God's grace and blessing to those of you who would desire to be a mother and have not been able to. My title this morning is The High Calling of a Mother. And I do believe that a mother really does have a very high calling. My mother, there was seven of us, and over 20-year span, I think it was, something like that. So her role or her season of motherhood was longer than most. And of course, even today, she's now a grandmother and a great-grandmother and still is very special to all of us. So God's blessing to you as mothers. I'd like to draw our attention to a particular mother. And there's a few mothers that we have in Scripture. I always like to focus on someone like that would be a good role model, if you will, someone to pattern your life after. And this mother is not too often, we don't think of her too much or her role as a mother, but a very, yes, important and vital role. This mother had a very high calling, higher than any mother. That was Mary, the mother of Jesus. So I'd like to look at Luke chapter 1 and read that account of the birth announcement that came to her from the angel and her response. We can see a lot of her traits and characteristics in this reading, and maybe why God chose her to be the mother of Jesus Christ. She was a very humble mother. She was a very willing. She had great faith. And God graced her in during this time. Let's read Luke 1, beginning verse 26 to 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So we have here the scene of God calling Mary to this very special task of being the mother of his son, Jesus Christ. She was favored by God and blessed among women. She was a humble and a willing servant of the Lord, and God, we'll see that God certainly gave her grace to accomplish this work for her. I'd like to look at a few of her traits that we see right here in this scripture. It says that she was highly favored. She had found special favor with God. And I often had to wonder, why did God choose Mary above many other virgins in that area, I'm sure. Why did God choose her? Well, we don't know. God is God. God is sovereign. God is supreme ruler. But he chose Mary and favored her highly. She was to be a son who would be great. He'll be the Son of God, who will reign on the throne of David and over the people Israel forever. That was part of the angel's message here in verses 32 and 33. I'd like you to notice her faith and her trust in God. Now, when you read down from the beginning of verse 26 all the way down to verse 34, she was a virgin. She had never had any physical relationship with a man. And at this point, she didn't know this was going to be a miracle. But she asked one question. One. How? How? How will this happen? And she may have at this point thinking, oh yeah, we're going to get Joseph and I are going to get married. They were engaged to be married. yeah, we'll get married and we'll have a son. Great. At this point, she didn't know it was going to be a miracle. So she asked one question. Can't blame her, can you? Legitimate question. How will this happen? And I see great faith and trust in God just in that. And I had to think of when God called Moses. You'll remember the excuses that he has. Well, I can't talk. I'm bashful. I stutter. I this, that, and the other thing. And finally, God had to call his brother, Aaron, who was apparently a better speaker. And they worked together. But one question came from Mary. How? And I guess I can see through that she really had great faith and trust in God. And of course, then the angel went on to tell her, this would be a miracle. This is unusual. This is a miracle that will be performed by God through the Holy Spirit. And this child will be called Son of the Highest, or the Son of God. Not the son of Joseph, but the Son of God. Big difference there. And I'm not sure why the angel revealed this to her, but at the end of the conversation, also your cousin, Elizabeth, she's going to have a child. And they were apparently past childbearing age. Another miracle that God would bring upon them. She would also have a son. Of course, their first son as well. And then, verse 37, it's like the angel says, oh, and don't worry, with God, nothing is impossible. And then her response in the next verse, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And that was that. Might that be a 3-minute conversation? I don't know. 4 minutes maybe? Not a long conversation. Not a lot of questions and doubts and demanding answers. But great faith and trust in God. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. A handmaid was the lowest slave in a household. I understand they could either be bond or free. They could be either owned by the master or free. But that was entry level maybe? I don't know. But that would have been a handmaid of the Lord, or the handmaid of the master in their culture. She says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Like, here I am. Whatever you say, Lord. Great faith and trust in God. And then the next couple of verses, we have when she leaves her home and goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And then we drop down into, then when she entered the house, the baby that was in Elizabeth's room, which was John the Baptist, says, leaped for joy when she came into his presence. And then after this, we have Mary's, the next couple of verses where it was her song to God and her praise to God. And I'd like to look at a few things there that, again, point to maybe some reasons why God would have chosen her. Mary recognized God for who he is. Starting there in verse 46, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. Right away, she is magnifying God and acknowledging him as her Savior. She had a relationship with God and was rejoicing in her salvation. That was Mary. I didn't do a lot of study as to who her parents or grandparents were, but apparently she had been introduced to the Lord at a young age. And there's some discussion as to what might have been her age. Maybe 15 or 16. It's thought that Mary and Joseph might have both been teenagers. Joseph might have been a few years older. We don't know. But in their culture, girls got married fairly young. 15 or 16 years of age was common. And so here she was, really still young, and expecting a child. And we also see that there in several places where They were a poor couple. They didn't have a lot of financial means. They were poor, but they trusted God through this. And we can see that in Luke 24 with the offering that they offered on his dedication service. Their offerings were somewhat on a sliding scale relative to their means. A lamb was preferred. If that wasn't affordable, you could get by with a pair of turtle doves or a couple of pigeons. And that's what they offered. So that gives us an indication of their income level, their economic status. They were a relatively poor couple. We also see that Mary had an extensive knowledge of the scriptures. When you look at verses 49 to 54, and I think I'll read these, we see that Mary had an extensive knowledge of the scriptures. A lot of a part of this prayer comes from scriptures or Psalms, Isaiah, and even the book of Samuel. Let's read 49 through 54. Okay, I'm breaking right into the middle of this. Let's back up to verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them to low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. Empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." So we see a lot of quotes from scriptures here. So we see that Mary had an extensive knowledge of the Old Testament, the Psalms, and there's a verse or two from Isaiah, and even a book of Samuel. She also acknowledged God for his might and strength and his mercy. And she named three groups of people that were kind of downtrodden and were helpless in many cases. That would have been the helpless, the humble, and the hungry. And in their case, that was a very abusive system. The poor were often oppressed by the powerful, influential, wealthy people. It was seemingly, I'm sure it's part of our culture too, but it was rampant in their time. The grace of God works in ways that we can't understand. The grace of God often works contrary to the ways and thoughts of the world system. 1 Corinthians 1:25, I thought I had that memorized. I'm going to turn to that quickly. It explains it very well. I like that verse. It says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." I know it's hard to compare God's wisdom and his strength to us as men, but that's a comparison that the Paul uses here. But that is a good example of what I want to bring out. God had remembered the helpless, the humble, and the hungry in this case. And she also recognized this as God remembering his promises to her people Israel and to Abram and his descendants forever. And that includes us, you and I, and all of us as well. God had certainly, and apparently she was, of course, this was common in their day. The people of Israel were constantly looking forward to this event, to the coming of the Messiah. And here it is. God had promised it to her, and it was happening now. Now, remember there was that 400 and some years of total silence, no prophecy, no revelation from God from the end of Malachi until now. 400 some odd years. God was just silent. And they kept, every generation I'm sure, kept hoping and waiting and wanting and expecting to see the Messiah. And so here it is. It's her. God called on her. She truly was a handmaid of the Lord. Mary recognized God for who he is. The next point, I'd like to look at some of these traits that come out at the birth of Jesus. Now, most of us probably sometime in our lives memorized the first 10 or 15 or 20 verses of Luke 2. So this is nothing new to us, and we're usually focusing on Jesus and the angels' birth announcement and all that, but there's not a lot said about Mary, but there's enough. There's enough said about her, given about her, that really does, again, confirm the things that we're looking at here. At the birth of Jesus, you know, God worked through a census mandated by the government to have them in Bethlehem during his time. And and it says here, and she brought forth her firstborn son. She, apparently by herself. And you would think, okay, Joseph, why did you go traveling? You knew she was close to due. Why did you take her? Well, we don't know. But again, God's hand was in this. And it says that she brought forth her firstborn son. There's nothing said about a midwife being present. It doesn't look like Joseph assisted in the birth. And since the whole inn was full, the motels and everything was full, they resorted to a livestock shelter of some sort. And remember, this is their firstborn. You mothers remember, your firstborn, you didn't know what to expect. Oh, you got advice from your sister or your mother or friends, but you know, you really don't know to experience it. And this was her first time. And how was Joseph supposed to know? He sure had less clues. But here they were out of town. They traveled several days. I think I read somewhere 60 or 80 miles a journey. So it wasn't just like getting in your car and driving from here to Rochester. It would have been a several day journey. And here they were out of town. The town was packed, and she went into labor pains. It just says, and she brought him forth. That's it, by herself. I wouldn't recommend that, but that was the case here. Okay, so here she is, again, probably being fairly clueless as to what to expect, what's going to happen, what's next. There was this angelic birth announcement to the shepherds. This is in a separate scene now outside of town in the fields. To the shepherds of all people. And the shepherds were not a highly respected class of citizens in their culture. The shepherds in many cases were often unclean for weeks at a time because of their interaction with livestock and handling dead animals and all that. So there was many times when they were not even clean as they knew it to be part of their temple worship service. So they weren't a very highly respected group of people. That was not really a highly respected trade. Even though it was very vital in their culture and very needful, that was kind of entry-level work. It just wasn't something that, you know, that was very highly respected. And so they were given this announcement, and they go searching for this newborn baby and found as the angel had told them. And then we see as the shepherds were spreading this around on their way back to their sheep, Mary was pondering this in her heart. Luke 2, 16, 17. Okay, this is starting verse 16, where the shepherds came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered those things which were told them by the shepherds. Remember, I told you the shepherds weren't highly respected. They weren't even very, in many cases, accepted as a court testimony, for instance. Their word was not even, in many cases, trusted. So as they were going back, they kept spreading this news, and people said, yeah, right, these guys are seeing things. You know, that kind of an attitude? Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I'm sure her mind was just a flurry of emotions and questions and things that were going through her mind. And I'm sure Most of you have already experienced a real life-changing event. Something took place in your life that really changed your life drastically. A lot of you are thinking, aren't you? But I'm sure that's the case. If it isn't, it will soon. It will. Well, this certainly would have been one of those events in Mary's life. It would have changed her life forever, drastically. And it was, you know, she just gave birth to the Son of God, announced by angels, followed with a huge chorus of angels singing in the sky, "Glory to God in the highest." And she's deep in thought, pondering these events in her heart. I don't know if she had any friends nearby, if she knew anybody in the area, if she had much of an opportunity to tell others, I don't know. But I'm sure she knew what was going on. I'm sure she knew who she just gave birth to. Again, we see a real handmaiden, humble, willing servant. And I want to look briefly at a few other cases where we don't have a lot of windows in her life, but we have a few. And at the end of Luke 2, we have the scene here at the, I guess I'd call this at the beginning of adolescence, in the end of Luke chapter 2, where they were going to the temple for the Passover. It was an annual feast. And apparently a group of them went together, and the children kind of hung out, and they kind of traveled together, and the parents hung together. And on the way home, they realized that Jesus was missing from his friends. They assumed that he was with them and wasn't. So they went back and found him in the temple among doctors, hearing them and asking questions. 12-year-old, who's 12? Kevin, are you 12? You're older than 12, right? A 12-year-old, you know who you are. Asking questions to doctors, real, highly educated people. And so they were really impressed with his knowledge. He was astonished them all with his knowledge. We see that in verse 49. And his mother was quite relieved to find him, really stressed out until she did, and in a kind way reprimanded him for not being more responsible and staying with them. But Jesus reminded him that he needs to be about his father's business. Who was his father? Not Joseph, but God. He was about his father's business. And then let's take a look at Mary's response. Verse 51. And he went down with them, this is Jesus, and came to Nazareth, this is on the way home now, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. You know, Mary, as I said before, she knew who Jesus was. She knew who she had just given, well, not about it. She knew where her son came from. She knew. There may have been others who didn't quite buy this line, and you'll see that, we'll get into that, but in John chapter 8, it's a big long chapter, where Jesus is in a discussion with the rulers and the chief priests at that time, and they accused him of being a child of out of wedlock, born of fornication. And I'm sure Mary lived with that, and Joseph, all their lives. So there would have been those who did not believe Mary that he was the Son of God, but she knew. And then I want to take a quick look at that scene at death on the cross. And the gospel writers all cover this, and there's various perspectives that we see coming from four different writers. Most of them refer to this group of women, which included his mother, standing afar off. But in John 19, we have this conversation that Jesus had with his mother. So they were fairly close, had to be during this time. John 19:25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. So I'm trying to picture this. Now, the Roman crucifixion was the most cruel and inhumane form of capital punishment that anyone could dream of. And it was reserved only for slaves and political crimes, like treason, something that would seriously threat the national security. So here was Jesus, along with two others, hanging on the cross, and his mother was there, right beside him. This was a very gruesome scene. And I can imagine most mothers would do that for their son if they had to. But Mary, again, and I don't know if she really understood what was going on, if she really knew, I don't know. It doesn't seem that way. Because when you look at the end of the chapter and the preparations that they made for the burial, I don't think she expected or even thought that he's going to rise again. So she was there to the very end. You know, I can't, and this was her son. And again, she knew he was innocent. She knew that the charges that were against him were false. She knew he was totally innocent. And yet here she was watching her son, yes, her son, suffer and die. Certainly we can see a very humble handmaid with a deep trust in God and a great faith. And I'm sure that you as mothers, you'll know too that God has called you to a very high calling. And I just pray that God's grace would be on your life. I want to read a couple of verses from Proverbs 31, and you all know this is a very familiar passage. The end of the chapter, starting verse 25 to 31. This is the virtuous woman. That's what we often refer to this. It gives a lot of traits and characteristics of a virtuous woman. But I'm focusing mainly on the end here. Starting in verse 25 of Proverbs 31. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And this is my prayer for you as mothers as well, that you could also experience this in your life. And I also pray that God would, that you would see yourself as a handmaid of the Lord. You know, being a mother, serving your children, your families, really is the ultimate in servanthood. You, in many cases, willingly, without even thinking about it, give yourself for your children. There's a sick child. You're up all night if you have to. You're busy providing for them. You're busy caring for them. You know, you really do have a very high calling. May God bless you. Let's pause for prayer. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings on mothers. Thank you for the grace that you have extended to each of these mothers. Father, thank you for calling and choosing Mary to be the mother of Jesus. You have given her grace for this time, and you have blessed her and blessed us and blessed the world through her. We thank you too, Lord, for the instructions in your word that we have for mothers, the encouragement, the blessing that you have extended to them. And we pray that you would especially anoint each mother right now with your grace as they continue to serve you by serving their families, by giving themselves to their children and their husband, the extended family. Thank you, Father, for the way you have created them. You have given them an inner desire to be a mother, and also as a result of that have given them much strength and wisdom to accomplish this. So we pray your continued blessing on each mother this morning. May she also find her place in your will, and may you anoint her with a special dose of your grace on her life. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.